spring training. It's a fun time to talk baseball. We reached out to a very knowledgeable former Twin broadcaster, Roy Smalley, good enough to join us right now. Roy, you've had a chance in the offseason to look at this team. Where would you bat in this batting order?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not at your current age, but at your prime.
Yeah, don't worry about bunting.
I don't know if I'd make this club. I got to tell you, this is an awfully, awfully potent offensive lineup, and with the addition of Donaldson, there are so many ways that Rocco Altobelli can go against right-handed starters, left-handed starters, protect against relievers in the lineup. And all these guys can hit, so it's going to be pretty fun.
Roy, do players enjoy that? If you you always talk about clearing your mind to hit, and one of the things this lineup does is you don't have to think a lot about hit and run and am I going to bunt him over, all those things. I mean, you can pretty much come to the ballpark and think I'm going for it. Does that change your mindset?
You know, I think it's a great question, Maxie, but I think that it might simplify things a little bit for the players. But the main thing about that, to your point, is that everybody 1 through 9, or actually you can go 1 through 12, I mean, whoever is in there, everybody looks at everybody else around them and says, hey, man, these guys can hit, and I can hit, and if I don't do it this time, I'm going to go up and do my thing. If I don't do it, the next guy probably will. And I think the combination of the excitement of being part of a lineup like that lends itself to real success, but also the knowledge that nobody has to carry the club. There'll be any number of guys at any given time that will step up and do big things. That's a huge confidence builder as well. So I mean, I think that from an offensive standpoint, the mental part of the game has to be an awful lot simpler and easier and positive for these guys.
Roy, you watched this team very closely last year, and if they had some deficiencies, they won more than 100 games. Defensively, they were okay, a little below average in several categories. Talk, if you would, about what the addition of Donaldson at third and a healthy Buxton in center will mean to the defense.
Well, I mean, it may be half again better, or maybe twice as good. I mean, it's almost impossible to quantify what Byron Buxton means to the club. The number of outs that are saved, the number of extra base hits that are saved, all the things that he does. I mean, he's, in my view, when he's healthy, and he's the best center fielder in the game. And you talk about being strong up the middle, and to have that much better in center field on your team than most everybody else, it's meaningful, it's significant, and that will change things. Having Donaldson at third base immediately makes the left side maybe twice as good. And I think that Jorge Polanco will continue to improve it at shortstop, and I think with Donaldson at third base, Polanco's offensive ability, the combination of what he does offensively and defensively is going to be plenty good enough. I think the interesting thing will be, speaking of strong up the middle, the emergence of Luis Arraez at second base, and how good a defensive player is he going to be? We know what he can do offensively. At least we know what we're expecting him to do. Maybe not hit 350, but this young guy can get base hits, and we know what he can take tough at bats. We know what he can do. I think we're a little bit unclear yet about what his defensive upside is at second base. So we'll be watching that too.
Do you think this infield will be better than it was last year?
I definitely think it'll be better, Sid. It's just the addition of Donaldson at third base. There are more plays critical to a team's defense on the left side of the infield than there are at first base. So moving Sano to first base, that's going to be a little clunky too for a little bit. I thought that last year C.J. Cron did an admirable job. Admirable job playing first base defensively, and I don't know that we'll see the same you know, the same thing out of Sano. I think Sano is competent defensively on ground balls and all of that kind of thing. But there's going to be some adjustment over time for him playing at first base every day, and we'll watch that as well. I don't think that's going to be immediately as strong. I may be wrong about that, but I don't think immediately as strong. But the rest of the infield, with the addition of Donaldson, I think makes the infield better than it was last year.
Roy, this whole thing with Houston and stealing signs and all that, how does that play out inside different clubhouses throughout? Will there be a lot of conversation? Will guys be saying to their starting pitcher, hey, take him out, whatever? What do you think? How does this evolve?
I don't think there's going to be retaliation in that way. That doesn't, I think that the commissioner didn't go far enough. It was an awful time in baseball. What they did to the credibility, the integrity of the game is unconscionable, and it would be next to impossible probably to punish the players that were involved just because of the investigations and the lawyer, the players' agents being involved, and
sure,
the lawyers and the, you know, the deposition. I mean, it might last for another 12 months. So I think it's situationally impossible to punish the players most likely. But beyond reason that they would vacate the world championship and all. I think that's probably the way the players feel about it. I mean, I don't think that pitchers are going to. I think it's unlikely they're going to start drilling Houston Astros players. I think everybody hates it. All players hate what was done, and wish that more had been done for punishment. But I think more to the point, maybe it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, if I were a pitcher, I'd want to go out there, jump out there right away against the Astros and see if they could hit me without knowing what was coming.
Tough advantage pitcher, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, one pitcher, I forget who it was, said, you know, give me a guy with steroids. I'd rather pitch to a guy that I know was cheating to get stronger and better, rather than a guy that knew what I was throwing. I mean, you have no idea how much it means. To your earlier question, Dave, if I knew every pitch that was coming to me, I could make this Twins lineup.
We'll work on that. We just had Falvey on. If in the other sequence, we would have brought that up. You know, Roy, you see it from a unique standpoint because you're in the broadcast booth. Talk a little bit about the production the Twins got from the catching position last year and what Garver's potential might be, because in terms of, you know, what the Twins got up catching last year, it was so far above everybody else in the major leagues, and I don't think we've seen Garver's peak.
I agree with you. I don't think we've seen his peak at all. And what they received last year was, you know, almost unprecedented. I mean, they put up. I mean, it kind of gives you an idea of how good Johnny Bench and Yogi Berra and those kind of guys were to put up kind of numbers that two guys, hitting against opposite pitching throwers, you know, right against left and left against right. I mean, it kind of gives you an idea of how good, you know, catchers that were, you know, played 140 or 50 games were in the back in my day. But what Garver did, the improvement that he made is remarkable and looks very real to me. And now I think for him the next step is going to be continuing to gain the experience and knowledge of the pitchers and understanding what to do and what he wants to do with his swing in different situations against different pitchers. And I think now it gets better and better. And I think the real danger back to your comment earlier about it, things being simpler in people's minds. He's such an offensive threat and he loves it so much. Really, for the Twins, you know, he needs to continue to get better and better defensively as well. And I think, you know, that's the one thing that I'll be looking for this year. I expect him to be good offensively, and I hope that he can just get better and better defensively as well. He has the tools to do that, and I'm not denigrating his defensive skills. I'm perfectly happy with how he catches given his offense. But I think there's, I think he's got the ability to get even better defensively.
Do you think that young second baseman can hit like he did last year?
Well, that remains to be seen, Sid. I mean, he came up and nobody knew him, and he does a couple of things exceedingly well. One is he only swings at strikes. It's remarkable the pitches that he's able to take and not get himself out. He only swings at strikes. And he has an incredible ability to get the big end of the bat to the ball on a consistent basis, no matter if it's right-handed or left-handed pitchers or what the pitch is. And so he waits a long time, he watches the ball a long time, and has a very short, quick stroke that enables him to get the big end of the good part of the bat to the ball a lot. I speculated last year that what was going to happen was that pitchers are going to start trying to pitch him inside and up in the strike zone. And the reason I said that is because when a guy waits as long as he does, inside pitches are going to give him a little trouble because you have to be earlier in the contact in the zone on inside pitches than anywhere else. And so, and sure enough, toward the end of the year, they started pitching him inside and up a little bit, and it gave him a little bit of trouble. But he handled it pretty well, and the good news about them potentially finding the best place to pitch him is that you've got to be really, really good. You've got to be able to throw it right there, because if it's just inside, he's going to take it, and now you're ball two, and he's back in charge. So I expect that he's going to be a very good offensive player, whether he can hit 350 for a full season. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Tony Gwynn, but I'm not going to anoint him as such yet. You know, we're going to have to wait and see, when the pitchers adjust and how he adjusts back and the grind of playing every day at second base and all that kind of stuff. But I expect he's going to be a very good offensive player.
Roy, when Josh Donaldson shows up and Nelson Cruz shows up, we were talking to Derek Falvey about that. When you went to the Twins, we talk about leadership in a clubhouse. When you were a young player, did you go visit Rod Carew, or how does that work for a young player? Do you just observe them? Do they come to you? How does that work? And is it? I know it's different for everybody, but how did you work that?
Well, it is different for everybody. It's different for young players, and it's different for the veterans that are the quote leaders. Generally speaking, the older guys won't go to a young guy. They'll wait for the younger guys to come to them. I think the biggest advantage for young players is just being around those kind of guys every day and watching what they do. What they do to prepare themselves to play, watch how they practice, watch their attitude in the game from pitch to pitch and at bat to at bat, and how they handle adversity and how they're able to let adversity and let some bad at bats fall off their back and do something big the next time up. And that's where I think that the leadership really comes to the forefront with younger players. And I think we saw that. I think we saw Nelson Cruz's impact on everybody, the whole lineup, last year. It was not just his his presence, and it was even in adversity. They watched what he did, they watched how he practiced, and all those kinds of things. And plus, you put a guy of that kind of impact in your third spot, and all of a sudden the whole lineup gets better. Now you got Donaldson added to that, and I suspect he'll hit second or fifth or one of those kind of places, and it's going to double up the leadership that these guys can watch, and I think that's going to rub off up and down the lineup.
Roy, I'm going to take you back a few years. You grew up in baseball. Your dad, longtime major league player. Your uncle Gene Mock, player and manager. A friend of mine, Jay Nally in Arizona, sent me a book he liked called The Baseball Codes, The Unwritten Rules of Baseball, which I'm reading right now and greatly enjoying. One of the chapters I just finished was on the hidden ball trick. Did you ever take part in a hidden ball trick that did you remember at any level?
I did. I got to tell you, one of the... Gosh, how do I describe how I felt about this? We're in Kansas City, and George Brett's on second base, and I think he had just hit a double, and I had known George for a long time. We're both from Southern California, and in the off season I was living in Manhattan Beach, California, and he had grown up not far from there. But he and his brothers had, you know, were buying property all along the beach area there in Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach, and he stopped by. He would stop by where I was living in Manhattan every once in a while, and so I mean I had known George. We were very friendly as competitors, but this particular day, we're in Kansas City in his home ballpark, and he had just hit a double, and the ball came in to me, and I noticed that I didn't really think that he was paying attention to where the ball was. So I put it in my glove, and Dave Goltz was on the mound, and, you know, the pitcher's not supposed to be, you know, on the rubber anywhere close without the ball. So I think it might have been Johnny Castino playing third, and I just kind of yelled to Castino and gave him a sign. I said, "Go in and talk to Goltz, you know, to Dave Goltz." He went in and started a conversation near the mound, which was totally bogus. And I just wanted to see if George would get off the base. And George was looking at toward the pitcher, and I turned to the second base umpire behind George's back and showed him that I had the ball. And he walked off. I came over and said, "How you doing, George?" And he walked off the base, and I tagged him. The umpire called him out, and he looked at me like I was the biggest traitor.
How did that end? How did that play out after that?
Wow.
That's a great story.
And I, you know, it was a big situation in the game. It took them out of a rally, but you know, I really had mixed emotions about that because I felt like somewhat of a jerk. But hey, you know, trying to win a ball game.
Did you guys? Were you okay after that?
Yeah, we were okay. He looked at me and then you know, but George was that kind of player too. George played hard, and he knew the rules and all that kind of stuff. And he would have done. I know that he thought after that he would have done the same thing to me and laughed about it. So I didn't lose any sleep over it. But there was a little bit of an awkward moment out there when when he realized what was happening. The only thing that ever came close to that for me was after I got traded to the Yankees. In 1982, the Twins came into town. I hadn't been gone from the Twins very long, and Gary Gaetti was on first base, and somebody got a base hit in right field or a double, and Gaetti rounded second base and missed the bat. I saw him not step on the base, and I immediately went to the second base umpire and I said, "You saw that, right?" And he wouldn't make a commitment about that, but I got the ball right away and came in and said, the umpire, I stepped on the bag and said, "I'm appealing Gaetti missing third and or missing second," and the umpire had seen it and he called Gaetti out, and Gary was it was kind of the same kind of deal because the Rat and I were pretty good friends
until then. Yeah. You know, Roy, Sid wants to wrap things up. I'll finish the book in the next couple of days. I'll walk it across the street. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'd like to talk. I've had a long conversation on our podcast with Jim Suhan. I mean, we had a big Twitter storm last year in that unwritten rule when Jake Cave swung 3-0 in a blowout and got a base hit, and then the pitcher drilled Kepler, the next guy. And we talk about the unwritten rules, and people get very upset about unwritten rules, and maybe someday we'll have a conversation about where those come from and why. Not that they're right or, you know, right or wrong, but there's a reason why they've developed and why why young players don't quite get it as much today. So I'll be interested in reading the book, and maybe we can have that conversation sometime.
We'd like to do it. I'll bring the book over to you in a couple of days. Sid, want to wrap it up?
Talk about what you remember more with the Yankees.
You know, it was a great experience, Sid. I had some really good years there, and it's a funny kind of experience because you have, at that time, you know, your friend George Steinbrenner was a bit on the warpath with his team. He was making trades and, you know, yelling at players publicly and all that kind of stuff, and so that was swirling around. There were 50 people media people every day. I mean, if we played the last place team, there were 50 people and media people in the clubhouse. And of course, the newspapers back there are incendiary. So it can be a stressful time, and at the same time, there is nothing like playing in the stadium. And one of the things that I will remember my whole life is not long after I'd been there, coming up in the bottom of the eighth inning with score tied and hitting a grand slam home run in the third deck in Yankee Stadium, and you know, to essentially win the ball game. And getting called out for a curtain call in Yankee Stadium, it's something that you never forget.
I bet. Sid, you want to wrap it up?
Ray Smalley, always a pleasure to have you on the air. And I always remember my friendship with you and Gene Mock. He was one of my best friends and great baseball player. And for appearing on this show, we'll get you a great certificate to Murray, the best steakhouse in the country.
Well, I love that, Sid. Thank you very much. I can't wait to go have a steak.
Roy, I'll bring it over.
Thanks,
as a bookmark. It'll be a bookmark.
Never mind that book, Dave. Bring that certificate.
You'll get them both. Thanks so much, Roy.
All right, I'll see you guys.
All right, it's Roy Smalley. Back with more after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.